Acts chapter 10, as we continue a series of messages, the third message of this series, what can you learn from three centurions? What can you learn from three centurions? And in the last two messages, we saw that the centurion that was there at that time that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, we learned from him in the statement that he made, truly, this was the righteous Son of God. Truly, this was the righteous Son of God. Those things that he saw, those things that he testified, bringing him to that place. And then we saw last Sunday that the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to heal and to save your soul. The Lord Jesus Christ has the power to heal and save your soul. He is able to do so. And then we take a look at this man here, this centurion in Caesarea, and we want to see what we can learn from him. Here in Acts chapter 10, verse number 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. There's a fellow that I worked for and witnessed to over the course of the years, and he had he was very thankful of his Italian heritage. And I couldn't help but think of him when I would read this passage about Cornelius, being of the Italian band. He's a Roman. He is from Italy. He's been placed here in Judea in this town of Caesarea. And he is from Rome doing the bidding of Caesar, doing the bidding of those that are over him. A centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Verse 2, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. And I find that very interesting. It just wasn't just him, but he instructed his house and those who were in his house of such, which gave much alms to the people. He gave money to the poor for the sustaining of the poor, for the helping of the poor. He gave much alms to the people there in Caesarea and prayed to God always. We have this testimony about this man, what the scripture says, what Luke writes about him, this man and his service towards God. It says he's devout, he fears God, gave much alms, and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, verse 3, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. A memorial, a record, a reminder before God Almighty. That's what the Lord said about it. Not me, not even Luke, but what the account that it is of this one that appears unto him and says these things to him. This vision and this angel coming to him. Now comes instruction. Verse 5. And now send to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, and whose house is by the seaside. Listen, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. He shall tell thee, go send for this man, a particular man, a specific man, dwelling and staying at a specific place. Go get him, and he'll tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel was spoken to Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them down the coastline to Joppa. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Father, for the things that you've given unto us in your word, Father, and how through your word that you've given it, Lord, to feed us, to tell us the truth, to show us the things that you would have us to understand about you and your work and your greatness. Lord, about the need of sinners and our great need of sinners, Lord, we need a salvation that can only come from you. We thank you, Father, for revealing unto us Jesus Christ, that he is that way of salvation, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto you but by him. Lord, we thank you that you've revealed that unto us, and Lord, that you've saved amongst us, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for this time that we can meet together to worship you, to praise your name and those things that you've done for us and those things that you've promised. And Lord, those things that you've even brought to pass this week, we praise your name for them, Father. And we pray that you might continue to bless and help us together as a church. We thank you, Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved. Lord, that they might hear once again the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, an opportunity, Lord, for them to hear your word. And Lord, we know as your word goes out, Lord, that there's power in it because that power comes from you. And we pray, Father, that even this morning that you would manifest your power in the using of your word to convict and save sinners. Lord, it's in your hand, and we're looking unto you to do it, Father. We can't save. We can't help. Lord, all we can do is point sinners to Christ. And Lord, we pray that you'd work and help and bless in it. Help us now with your word. And Lord, take me out of the way. Just use me to speak that which you've laid upon my heart. Lord, help me to relay it in a way, Lord, that you would be pleased, in a way that would be clear and understanding. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Cornelius there in Caesarea. Cornelius there in Caesarea. This angel appears to him and tells him, go get Simon Peter. Go get him. So he sends a couple men and a soldier to go fetch Peter. Verse 9. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice, lo, to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. So Peter's there on the housetop. He's getting hungry. He's ready for some groceries. They're downstairs fixing him up. Maybe even the smell from downstairs is coming up there, and the Lord is going to deal with Peter. He's an apostle. He's one that's a leader amongst the church. He's there. He's there. He's real, as we know about Peter, he's real quick to tell what he thinks. He's real quick to preach. He has preached, and the Lord has blessed him. Even there on Pentecost, he preached and gave a great testimony and witness of the Lord and telling about how it was such a fulfillment of the scriptures about Jesus Christ being the Savior. And the Lord has got to deal with this Jew because the Lord has a plan that he's going to work amongst the people there in Judea, in Samaria, and even in the uttermost parts of the world. He is going to take this Jew, he's going to take this Israelite, and he's going to convince him of such. And what's he do? He lowers down this sheet in this vision that Peter has, and there's all kinds of beasts that are there, and there are beasts that are there that are common. They're unclean. For the Jew to eat, it is not appropriate for them to do according to the law of Moses. And the Lord says, it's okay. It's okay. I believe it's a twofold thing that's shown here. For the Jew, those things given in the ceremonial law, those things that are given in the sacrificial law, the Lord has completed those and fulfilled those in Christ. Amen. It's okay for the Israelite amen. To eat sausage. Amen, Brother Doug? Brother, we say amen. I'm glad. But the thing is, too, is the Lord is speaking to him about Gentiles also. He's speaking to him about Gentiles. If the Lord is going to take his word to the Gentiles, Peter, don't you second guess it. Okay? And that's not clear to Peter yet, but it's going to be. Verse number 17. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Simon the tanner, right? Simon the tanner, as it told us in verse number 6. And stood before the gate. Verse 18, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. I'm looking for Simon's house, but I need this Simon. Okay? So there's that distinction that's made there. We need Simon Peter. Verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. Don't doubt a thing of what you're going to see, what you're going to experience, those things that I'm going to do. Peter, don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. Don't rely on your past. Don't rely on your history. Don't rely on your Israelite pride and those things that were given to the fathers. Don't doubt a thing. Just watch, Peter. Watch what I do. Go with them. doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down, verse 21, and the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And here's the testimony of Cornelius again. And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a man, a captain, over 100 soldiers or so, a man with some responsibility, a man with some power and authority. We saw that testified last Sunday about that centurion. What was it he said? I say to this one, go, and he goeth. I say to this one, come, and he cometh. And I am under authority, and I have other men under me that are, I'm over them in authority. And the way authority works is when the boss says go, they go. If you want to, you can heal my servant. Well, that's the way it is with this centurion. He has this, and they say unto him, Cornelius, verse 22, the centurion, a just man. That's interesting, just. But who is it that's saying that? Some of his household, a soldier that came. They like Cornelius. They believe that Cornelius is most right and religious and well, don't they? That's the reason they would say that he's just. Now, I want you to think about something. When Peter tells us that the Lord delivered just Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah so he wouldn't be destroyed with Sodom and Gomorrah, who's speaking there? With Cornelius, we have a Jew, or those of his household, rather, and a soldier that's saying that he's just. But then in Peter, in the epistles of Peter, when he talks about Lot being just, there's a differentiation between who's talking, isn't there? These men think that Cornelius is doing well. They like him. They love him. They are glad of the blessing in his household. But understand about that. He says he's a just man and one that feareth God and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews. Was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in. Peter said, come on in and lodge them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So now you've got Peter, you've got the two men sent, you've got the soldier that was sent, and then you've got some men, I believe, from the church there at Joppa that are going with Peter. Okay? And so the Lord is working here, and a wonderful thing that he is. Verse 24, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, I love this that's said here. And he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Cornelius and everybody he knows, the kin that he has there, his near friends that are there. He said, there's a man that God has told me to send for, and God has said, the angel of the Lord said that he's got some words for us to hear. I want you to come hear him too. I want you, my family, I want you to come hear them too. You, my friends, I want you to come and hear those words too. He was desirous of that which the Lord had to say, wasn't he? It wasn't just a nonchalant thing with him. But can we say, here we see a man that is seeking for the Lord? Sure. Sure. Why is this man seeking for? Why is it that any person will seek for the Lord? Because of what God said. God sends his word. And I'm going to show you some scripture about that. You already know it. But God sends his word. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? What does this mean? The word of God has been sent. The word of God has been heralded. It's been heralded and there by the Jews in the synagogue there in Caesarea, no doubt. The centurion had heard such. How was it? We don't know about how the Lord had dealt with this man, but this man is from Rome. No doubt he started off life as a Roman pagan. He was taught from his infancy, no doubt, about the Roman gods and the gods that Rome served and how Caesar himself is a god. But somewhere along the line, the Old Testament scriptures that the Lord had given the Jews, no doubt being read there, as the church testifies, Moses is read every week in the synagogue. The words of the scripture of the Lord touch this man, and he says, I want to know this God. It's not self-righteousness of his own, but it's instruction from the Word of God and the convicting power of God that one would search and seek after God. Verse 24, his family is there and his kinsmen are there and his near friends. Verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. That's what he knows. That's what the angel said, this man that comes. Surely he's got to be a deity. Surely he's got to be righteous. Surely he's the one that we're to worship. He's got the answer. That's what he knows. And he worships them. Here's what the Pope says, verse 26. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. Peter is not a pope, is he? He's a saved child of God, a disciple of the Lord in his church, chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ to be an apostle, but he's no pope. He is a leader amongst the church. He is in that transition team of the apostles. He's been given a responsibility to meet in that service and that calling of the Lord. He's no pope. Amen. Who's number one in the church? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's number one in the church. And so he says, he grabs a hold of him, stand up. If there's ever an occasion in the scripture for a man to be worshiped in the stead of God or as the leader, quote unquote, leader of his church, quote unquote, this would be the place, wouldn't it? The account would have been that the centurion bowed before him, Peter offered his ring, the centurion kissed it, and then life would have been great. But it didn't happen, did it? Said, stand up, for I myself also am a man. Verse 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. So Peter sees this crowd that Cornelius has called together. And he said unto them, Peter says this, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, because of that, came I unto you without gainsaying. And what is that? Doubting. The Lord said, don't doubt a thing, doubting nothing. That's what gainsaying is. It's doubting. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. The Lord shows Peter, no man is common or unclean. No man is better than the Jews. No man is worse than the Jews, Peter. All are before the Lord. All need salvation. The Lord himself has ordered this thing. And here I am. Why did you call for me? What is it that you want to hear or need from me? Verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting. So there is an account there. The man fasted. Not only was he devout, not only did he give alms, not only did he pray, but he fasted. And it said over here in the beginning of the chapter, it says, the angel said, thy prayers, are these prayers that are just repetitious and vain repetition of things that are being said? Or is this man saying, Lord, God of Israel, God here that is in these scriptures, that no doubt you are real, you are the heaven, you're the God of heaven and earth, give me what I need. Show me who you are. And why would it be that he would ask such a thing? Why? Because of the speaking of the scriptures to him, the speaking of the Word of God to him, the telling of God of who he is, what he's done, how he's created. And even those accounts that salvation is of the Lord. Did the man read about Jonah? Well, probably not, because the Israel rejected Jonah as a prophet. But maybe there would be a copy there where Jonah said salvation is of the Lord. Did he read after Isaiah as the Ethiopian eunuch did, where the Lord tells about his dealing there with Israel? And then he tells about, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the water and drink. Come and buy food and drink without money and without price. The Word of God has been taken to this man, and it's because of the Word of God that he knows more about God and knows that this one who is God Almighty, whom the Jews claim to serve, who, did he read about David? Did he hear read about the Psalms? Did he hear read about different things? We don't know in particular. But the word has gone to this man, and he is seeking for the Lord because of his word. Verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. The Lord said that, not me. The Word of God says that, not me. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in a house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee. I didn't wait a day. I didn't wait a week. I sent immediately to thee. That's what the Lord said to do. That's what God said to do. And listen to what he says. Immediately therefore I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. I'm glad you've come. I'm glad you've obeyed on your end to come and speak. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. He says, I want to hear more. I want to hear the truth from the Lord. The Lord has done this thing, and I sit here and I want to hear. I've heard about his word in the synagogue. I've heard about his word from the Jews. He's maybe even read about it himself. He is obeying in all that he knows to obey. But he knows that he wasn't complete. Why? Because of the word of God. Because of the word of the Lord. Not of his own self, not of his own way, not of his own ability, but because God has visited this man with his word. And he says, I want to know more. More about Jesus would I know, for we that are saved. More of his grace to others show. More, I want to know more. And I'm here ready with my family, with my friends, and we are all here present before God to hear all these things that are commanded thee of God. Verse 34. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Oh, no, we got a works salvation. No, we don't. We don't have a works salvation. Obedience to God is good for everybody, but it won't save your soul. Obedience to God and his word and his way and what he says in his book is good for all. It's good for the sinner that rejects Christ as Savior. It's good for them to obey what God says in his word. I was talking to my Sunday school class, namely last Sunday. How is it that we are to train and to raise and to rear our children? There's no other way than what the word of God says. We're to train them and teach them everything about the word of God. Will that training and that teaching save them? No. But it'll point them to Christ, who is the Savior. We would point them to the Scripture. We would point them about their responsibility before the Lord. We would teach them obedience to what the Word of God says. But yet the salvation of their soul is between them and God. Righteous works do not save. It is God that saves. But will we instruct our children to be as the heathen and go after the way of the heathen until they are saved? No. We teach them what the Word of God says. That's what we're to do. And so the Word of God has come to this man. We're ready. Peter opened his mouth, said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him, this man fears the Lord. He sees that God Almighty, he's been blessed to see that God Almighty, through his word, is God, is Lord of lords and King of kings. Did he read there in Isaiah about the names of the Savior? And he compared this one that the Scripture told about and has told about. He compared him up to Mercury and compared him up to Zeus and compared him up to Apollo and Ishtar. And he says, he's greater than these. He is greater than all the gods of the Romans. And Peter says, He that fears him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Not a work salvation, but a blessing of the speaking of the word of God to a sinner, and the sinner hearing the word of God through the blessing and work of the Holy Spirit and wanting to know more about God. Wanting to know more about his creator. Turn to Isaiah 55. Listen to what the word of God, what the Lord says that he's going to do here. Listen to what the scripture says about the word of God. And in this case with Cornelius, we see this happening with him. We see this happening with him. As Cornelius said in verse 33 there in Acts 10, "Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Isaiah 55 verse 8. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." Like the rain, the snow that's come down from the heaven. And what's it do? It goes down into the ground, doesn't it? It goes down into the ground, and what's it do? It softens up the ground, doesn't it? It goes down into the ground, and it loosens up the ground, and it works the ground. And it makes it to where the seed will grow, won't it? We don't understand how, but it does. God says his word is the same way. It does the same thing. That's what has been worked here in Cornelius. That's what we're seeing, the working of that. You remember how it was with you? Maybe over the course of your young lifetime, depending on when it was that you were saved. I was saved at 22 years old. And the Lord used the word of God coming to me for the time that I had understanding to tell me about Jesus, to tell me about my need, to tell me, as cute as I was, I know you can't believe that, but as cute as I was a little sinner, and I needed a Savior. And kept on. "Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." The Word of God came. The Word of God came and told the truth. The Word of God came and worked on this old, cold, stony heart. And kept on coming. And kept on coming. And kept on coming. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, that returneth not thither, but watereth the earth." That's what we're seeing here in Cornelius. We're seeing that watering of the earth, that working of the word, "but maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy." This is what the word of God, this is what the water of the word of God will do for the sinner. It'll give him life. It'll save his soul. It'll show him the way and work and salvation of God. "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be unto the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." The Lord will save sinners. He will save his people. Remember how it was when you were saved? Even if it was a dark, dreary day, it was just the sun was shining, wasn't it? It was a blessing. It was a change. It was that which was wrought in us by God. We had been rescued. And there was no greater happiness. There's been no greater happiness than the salvation of the sinner's soul. God has said so, and he uses his word to come at us, come at us, come at us, come at us. What are you doing with the Word of God? What are you doing with what God is saying? You ball up? You buck against it in your heart? You make and reinforce, if you will, from the human standpoint, that old Adam at heart and say, no, I don't want God that way. Child of God, what do we do with the Word of God? Do we reject it to our own shame? To the sorrow that rejecting of the Word of God and the sin that prevails in the shame and the hardship that brings? Are we soft before the Word of the Lord? We let the Word of the Lord speak to us. Do we hear the Word of the Lord? Are we obedient to it? How are we in comparison to Cornelius? Cornelius says, I want to hear it. Let me hear it. I want to hear what God has to say. How is it with you and me? And then as we read over here what Peter said in verse number 35 of Acts 10, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And Isaiah 55 verse 6 is what God says. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. How can the sinner know that he's got a problem? By the Word of God. How is it that he knows that there's a Savior, that there's a remedy? By the Word of God. And the Lord says, come. The Lord says, believe it. The Lord says, receive it. The Lord says, trust in me. I am the Savior. Back in Acts 10. Listen to what Peter preaches. When Peter finds out the reason that he's been called for, Cornelius and his household and his friends are ready to hear him. Verse 36. What's he start off with? The Word. You see that? The Word. The Word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That Word that's been sent to Israel, Cornelius, that's been a director to you. That's been a direction to you and your household of this need of the Savior, of the need of the One. The Word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That Word, I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. What does Peter preach? He preaches the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he is the fulfillment of those things, those scriptures that God gave to the Jews. Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And in his ministry, he came and fulfilled it. He preaches unto Cornelius and his household the Lord's ministry. The Lord's ministry, how he came and how he fulfilled these scriptures. And there in the latter part of verse 39, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Whom they slew and hanged on a tree. He preaches unto him his death. His death, his ministry, his death. And what's he go on to say? Verse 40, him God raised up. Raised up from what? From where he was buried. He preaches unto him that he was buried. He raised him up. What's he preaching to him? In verse number 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. His ministry, his death. His burial, his resurrection, it's what he preaches to the people there in Cornelius' house. Verse 41, and showed it, verse 40, and showed him openly, not to all the people. Verse 39 says, and we are witnesses of all things. He starts off here saying, you know what was told about Jesus. You heard the news report. I'm telling you the spiritual report. I'm telling you the fulfilling of the Word report. He says, but showed him openly that after his resurrection, he was not shown to all. not to all the people, verse 41, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He tells about his church, about his disciples, about those that would be a witness to the fact of his resurrection. Peter's saying, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And I've been sent to you to tell you about it. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained to be God, of God, to be the judge of the quick and the dead. What do we see there? He tells about his commission. You see that? See what Peter, in a very short message. You know what? You and I as witnesses, we don't have to have an half-hour dissertation about the salvation of the Lord. All we have to do is tell, I was a sinner, and God through his word and by the working of the Holy Spirit showed me that I was guilty before him. Amen. And sent a witness to me of whatever it was in your case, a church, people in the church, a family, however it was, sent the word of God to show me that I was a sinner and that Jesus is a Savior. And he commanded me to come to him in repentance and faith. Amen. To repent and trust in Jesus Christ. And somehow Jesus has saved my soul. I know not how. I know that Jesus does. But how is it that he saves the sinner's soul? It's a spiritual thing, isn't it? And praise God, he bears witness with us that he does. And he has. And that he will. To repentant sinners that trust in him. He preaches to him of his death, of his ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his church, his commission. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Isn't that what it says? Let's read it again. To him give all the prophets witness. That's what Cornelius has been hearing about. That's what Cornelius has maybe been reading about. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. His salvation. Amen? His ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his church, his commission, his salvation. That's what Peter preaches to Cornelius and his household. You know what happens next? So let's read it and see. Let's read it and see. Verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. There's the word again. There's the word of God again. There's that watering of the earth again. The Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed, Peter, the men from Joppa, them of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Lord saved those sinners. He saved them at the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saved. And think about this. How was it with the disciples, with the apostles? They were saved, weren't they? They were baptized by John the Baptist. And then later on at Pentecost, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Comforter on the church was manifested in them. And on Pentecost, they preached. And 17 to 20 languages heard them in their own native tongue. Right. Salvation, baptism, manifestation of the work of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, I believe, in the church. Got that? What was it that happened over at Samaria? When Philip was sent there to preach unto those at Samaria, they believed. They were baptized. Peter and John were sent by the church and laid hands on them. And then the manifestation of the work of the Holy Spirit of God and the work of the Comforter was shown in them, and they spake in tongues, and those signs were manifested in them. What happened here, folks? What happened here with the Gentiles? What was it that God took as a hammer and just drove this point to let Peter and those men of Joppa know that this was of God? These folks were saved. And then the work of the Holy Ghost and the work of the comforter, if you will, was manifested in them, they've not been baptized. But they're going to be. And God knows it. Look here. Verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? This order has not been the order before. But the Lord knows that these are going to be in His church. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. I believe those men from Joppa did so. Then prayed they Him to tarry certain days. Sinners were saved at the preaching of the word of the Lord, at the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord saved them. And He manifested it that even in the Gentiles, His Spirit was upon them, and they were baptized, and I believe a church is established there at Caesarea. Now, Peter gets called on the carpet about this, for chapter 11. And the apostles and brethren which were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the Word of God. The Word of God! When Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contend with him. Said, what are you doing? Saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and did eat with them. You're not doing right, Peter. You are not doing right in this. They were Judaizers. They were holding to the law. They were holding that division. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. And upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. So he rehearses what happened, and the Lord dealing with him and telling him about the Gentiles. Verse 11, And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was sent, right? The two men of the household and the soldier, sent from Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit bade me go with them, not gainsaying, doubting nothing. Moreover, six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, six men from Joppa. And he showed us how he had seen the angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. You ready? Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. The gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? We have things that we organize and things that we do and things that we plan to minister unto the community around us and to spread. And at the center of all those needs to be the spreading of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the heart of the ministry that the Lord's given into His church. That word of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what? Men, women, boys, and girls cannot be saved without that gospel being preached unto them. And you and I, we need to be a bearer of that gospel. How many did you tell the gospel to this last week? Because without it, they won't be saved. How many of the things of the church are focused about carrying the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, the ministry, the coming of the Lord, the fulfillment of the Scriptures, and Him living and dying and suffering and dying, being buried and rose again? Without the gospel being proclaimed, sinners will not be saved. It's the means that God has ordained to be used. And as we look on it, upon it as men, we say, how can it be? But it's the power of God and salvation, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Words. Words by which, who shall tell thee words by whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And listen to what he says. And as I begin to speak, not as he laid his hands on those in Samaria. Peter was one of them that was sent. John and Peter, after Philip preached, they were saved, they were baptized. John and Peter were sent. He was sent and he laid hands on them. They laid hands and they received that manifestation of the Holy Ghost. But Peter says, as I spoke unto them, as I preached unto them, not in laying of his hands, this is the work of the Lord. And the Lord is just slowly working with his church, working with those Jews in his church to show them how the Lord is going to save. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them before they were baptized, as it did on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Salvation of the is of the Lord. The working of the Lord in his church is of the Lord. The comforter work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation, and the work of the comforter work of the Holy Spirit in his church, it's of the Lord. And he brings it and witnesses it amongst men with his word, and the Holy Spirit of God works. How about you this morning? Are you kicking against the pricks? Is the Word of God pricking you? Is the Word of God goading you in some way? Will the Word of God goad you to where you're slain in your heart, where you rebel against the Word of God and you say, no, I don't want it that way. And you go out and pursue yet more wickedness? Or is the Word of God breaking you down and showing you you're a filthy, worthless sinner before God, and showing you Jesus Christ is the only way that you can have forgiveness? The only way that you can have, He is the only way that you can have peace. The only way that you can have a relationship with your Creator is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I begin to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us in the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear that? Who believed on him. What was I that I could withstand God? I couldn't fight against it. I had no argument against it. I had, well, this is wrong. This is not in its right order. It was all from the Lord. The Lord said, I'm sending them. The Lord said, deal with them. The Lord said, go. And Cornelius asked, or Peter asked, said, why have you sent for me? Cornelius said, you've got words from God that we need to hear. And he preached to him Jesus, didn't he? And who saved? Did Peter save? No, the Lord saved them. Who was I that I could withstand God? Verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You know what? Every Gentile in the house ought to stand up and say, hallelujah, amen, and praise the Lord. Because if it wasn't for that, you and I wouldn't be saved this morning. Amen. And we sit there kind of lackadaisical. Praise God for salvation. May the Lord help us. Amen. We've been rescued. Right. We've been pulled out of the miry clay and pit of sin and set on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yeah, I'm happy. It's just great. We've been changed.
Amen.
We've been made a new creature. Praise God. Praise God that He purposed to bring salvation to the Gentiles, to His people. What can you learn from three centurions? What can we learn from three centurions? Truly this righteous man that hung on this tree, truly this righteous man was the Son of God. Number two, the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to heal and save your soul. And number three, what was it that Cornelius said over there earlier in the chapter? We're here present before God to hear the word that you've got for us. What can you learn from a centurion? The Lord has a word to hear that through which He will save your soul. How is it with you this morning?